he's just one of those guys, you know, that has just a way to really just motivate you to not only just be a good lacrosse player, but to be a good person as well.
Welcome to the Lax Goalie Rat Podcast. Every week, we'll be talking shop with lacrosse goalies, coaches, and special guests. This is the Lax Goalie Rat Podcast. Now your host, Coach Damon Wilson.
Ladies and gentlemen, goalies from around the world, welcome to the Lax Goalie Rat Podcast. I am your host, Coach Damon Wilson, and this is the podcast 100% dedicated to the best position in sports, the lacrosse goalie. The University of Denver, coached by the great Bill Tierney, had 7 goalies on the roster. Most teams have 3 or 4. They had 7, which is an incredible goalie competition. And the winner of that competition this year is the guest on my podcast. It is junior Jack Thompson. He just finished his stellar sophomore season where he was second team All Big East behind only Owen McElroy, goalie of the year. Coached by Ryan LaPlante, Trevor Tierney out of the Goalie Evolution Academy. Awesome young man. We talk about getting coaching from those great coaches, but also what it's like to play for the great coach Bill Tierney and his path to Division I lacrosse. Ladies and gentlemen, please enjoy this episode with Jack Thompson. Before we begin this episode with Jack, I want to read a word from our sponsor, and that is my own Lacrosse Goalie Summit. If you've attended any of these events live, you know just how spectacular they are. I invite the best lacrosse goalie coaches to give presentations. 16 presentations we did for the last one, Lacrosse Goalie Summit 4, on everything, technique, drills, different mindsets, different exercises, nutrition, mental game, tons and tons of stuff, all designed to make you a better lacrosse goalie. Or if you're a lacrosse goalie mom or dad out there listening to this, it's a great resource, a great tool to give to your kid, to give them that edge, to teach them the ins and outs of this beautiful position that we call lacrosse goalie. You can buy all the replays still for a low, low price. Live training costs about anywhere from $80 to $120 an hour. And this is about $4 or $5 an hour when it boils down to it. You can pick up the recordings if you go to Lacrosse Goalie Summit. Scratch that. If you go to goaliesummit.com, just goaliesummit.com, www.goaliesummit.com, and you can pick up some elite lacrosse goalie training. Enjoy the show. All right. It is a pleasure to welcome to the show, to the podcast, University of Denver goalie going into his junior year, Jack Thompson. Jack, welcome to the show.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, this is going to be awesome. Going back to the very beginning, do you remember the first time you jumped into goal?
Absolutely. Yeah, no. So it's kind of a funny story. So I started playing goalie in second grade, but it all started because my dad was our youth coach at the time. And basically, like, I was an attack guy and our goalie didn't show up for one of our games. So I kind of, being the coach's kid, like, no one on our team wanted to play. But just being the coach's kid, my dad's like, all right, you know what, like, you're gonna have to go in and play. So I was kind of reluctant at the time, didn't really want to play. Didn't really know what it was all about, but I mean, after that game, I just loved it and just, yep, been playing ever since.
Awesome. What did you love about it?
Just loved, just the impact that you have in a game, you know, like, it's kind of a double-edged sword. Like, you can win a game or lose a game, and a lot rides on your shoulders. But I just think that it's just a ton of fun at the end of the day. It's just a lot of fun to have that impact in a game. And there's also nothing better than, you know, stuffing a guy right on crease or something like that, or making a big save in a big moment in a game. So, yeah.
Yeah. It's just, 100% agree. 100% agree. And you grew up in the Denver area or in the Colorado area, yeah?
So, yeah, I was born in New Jersey, but okay. Didn't really play any lacrosse out east or anything like that. Moved over to Castle Rock when I was about 5 years old. And I actually started, playing it when I was in kindergarten, just because I got an older brother who's 2 years older. And I just kind of got thrown on his team when my parents signed up my brother, they kind of just signed me up to. And back then I was a lot smaller than the rest of the guys, but it was just good to get the experience just being young and playing with him.
Yeah. I was going to ask about lacrosse in the Denver area, because obviously, you know, lacrosse typically East Coast sport, and you think about some of the hotbeds, you know, they're East Coast cities. The D1 program starts up at Denver. Tierney comes in and kind of builds up that program to the point where they, you know, they win a national championship. And I imagine that, like, in some ways turned that area into more of a hotbed of lacrosse. Am I right there?
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's definitely, I've just seen the game grow a whole lot, especially over the last couple of years. It's great to see like a lot of new guys, new camps and just tournaments that are popping up out here. And also, I just think I feel like the East Coast kind of has a reputation of being, you know, super dominant, having a lot of just great players all around. And, you know, I feel like that reputation is kind of building definitely out here with, you know, there's a ton of great talent. You know, I played on Denver Elite, that club travel team growing up, and we had a really great team. A lot of guys that ended up playing in college. So definitely mm-hmm. would say it's growing a whole lot out here, which is great to see.
I love it. I love it. As a West Coast guy, it's also growing in California and in the Bay Area. So it's kind of cool to see, you know, some of these guys play at these big time D1 programs, who, you know, are from what typically were not hotbeds of lacrosse. And I love to see that.
Yeah.
As the sport grows. So cool. So growing up then, you know, how did you go about, you know, once you kind of realized goalie is the position for me, I'm enjoying it, how did you go about learning how to make saves?
Yeah. I mean, being young, I didn't necessarily have like a set goalie coach or anything like that. So a lot of it was just on my own, like maybe watching a couple of YouTube videos here and there. My dad would try to tell me some stuff that he thought I should work on. But nothing, you know, nothing too serious or like great training when I was younger. But about eighth grade is when I first got some training from Trevor Tierney and Ryan LaPlante over at the Goalie Evolution Academy. And that's kind of where I learned kind of like my technique and just the way that I play and how I step to the ball and all that. So, a lot of it early on was kind of just me, whatever felt good, seemed good, watching other goalies too. And then eventually, just coming in contact with Trevor and Ryan and they kind of just helped me figure out, you know, a good technique and basis for which I play.
Yeah. Those are great guys. Ryan was the very first podcast I ever did, Ryan LaPlante. And I emailed him after watching a picture of you. And I'm like, Ryan, I know you coached this guy. Cause I mean this in the most complimentary way possible. Like you guys look identical, like in terms of your stance and your setup. And I mean, he's an amazing, both those guys are amazing goalies. So I mean that in the most complimentary way, but you guys look very similar.
Yeah, no, it's funny when I was, first getting recruited at Coach T, he made that comparison between me and Ryan too. And I actually just found out recently that even though we're both lefties, we both are right-handed dominant, which is kind of like a weird quirk, I guess. And I don't know, I guess that could be something that makes us maybe look a little bit more similar than other goalies per se.
Interesting. What does that mean? Does that mean you right-handed?
Yeah, exactly. I do everything righty. The only things I do lefty are lacrosse, obviously. I shoot a basketball lefty and play hockey lefty. And those are the only, I don't know why, I couldn't tell you why or anything like that, but those are the only things I do lefty.
Huh. Because it feels more natural? It feels more comfortable that way?
Yeah, exactly. I'm sure if you ask Ryan, I'm sure he'd have a couple of those similarities too.
Yeah, that's just interesting. It, well, you know, when we think about like making a save, like, you know, your top hand, very, very important. But the more that like I study this position, the more I realize like the bottom hand equally as equally as important. Like if you're going for a top hand save, like this is the power that gets you there. And so I wonder if there's anything to that about how you having like, you know, an equally strong bottom hand, whereas like me, like I'm totally righty and like, you know, I do everything righty and it's just super, super dominant with my right hand.
Yeah. One thing I've noticed like coaching goalies too, is sometimes that off hip save, it, like I've been taught just that it's a lot with the bottom hand kind of pulling and punching across. So like a lot of times when I'm coaching goalies, most goalies I feel are have that dominant hand up top. And I feel like kind of teaching that punch across is a little weird for like a lot of goalies that are like that, because it's kind of, you're doing that motion with your offhand. But I like, for me, it just came a little bit more natural just because I was like, oh, like my righty is what my right hand is what does most of the movement. So getting to that spot was a little bit easier. And it was just something I noticed as a, as coaching goalies.
Yeah. I watched Trevor Tierney's, I forget what this, it's like an evolution of goaltending. I think that's the series, you know what I'm talking about? It's out there on YouTube and I'll link up to it. And it's amazing. I watched that thing so many times, long time ago, because it was one of like the only, you know, like instructional video series out there on YouTube. And he talks about that, about chopping wood on your off stick, on your off stick hip saves. And I really love that idea, because, you know, it's not like, yes, you're driving your top hand to get there, but like that idea of chopping wood really allows me to make that direct movement, you know, that you know, as little movement as possible to get there.
Yeah, I'd say it also just helps keep your body square to the ball versus kind of turning and stuff like that. So I think that's another big part of it, is just kind of being able to get to that ball with your stick, but also staying completely square to that ball.
Yeah. And one, you know, one of the other things that's very Trevor Tierney, very Ryan LaPlante, very Jack Thompson now is the shallow arc, right? The flat arc, playing deep in the goal, playing with a little bit of a wider stance. Can you talk a little bit about kind of your style of play?
Yeah, definitely. So, I play a very low arc, and the biggest reason for that is just the time that your eye tracks the ball. Playing a low arc will just allow you just, you know, maybe half a second, middle second, even just to be able to see that ball a half second more can be the difference between, you know, saving the ball and having that ball go in. So that's just what I've been taught, is playing that low arc just allows you to get that little extra time to be able to save that ball. And then, you know, footwork wise and movement wise, I do like a very lateral kind of movement there. And that's just, I felt like it's allowed me to be able to get my whole body behind that ball versus, that 45 degree step and stuff like that. I've also just been taught to kind of be a reactive player. I know like baiting's like kind of like a technique and stuff like that. And I definitely do that sometimes, especially when shooters are in tight and stuff like that. But overall, on most shots, I try to wait till I see that ball. And then once I see that ball and track it, then I try to just be as explosive as possible to get my stick and body behind that ball.
Yeah. Love it. Love it. Besides Tierney and LaPlante, when you were growing up, or even now for that matter, you know, who are some of the guys that you looked up to and learned from goalie wise?
Definitely Ryan. I mean, when I was young, I'd watch the DU games and Ryan was always in there and someone I looked up to. So definitely him. But also Dylan Ward, you know, he was one of my coaches in high school, and he has a very definitely unique style of playing, which is a little bit different than the way that I play. And it was kind of nice. I mean, when in high school, he didn't really try to change the way that I played, because I feel like every goalie out there is a little bit unique in their own way. And Dylan Ward, you know, he always just kind of let me play the style that I play. But one thing that he did help me kind of change was kind of dropping to the ball. I think sometimes, you know, us goalies can get in the habit of, you know, dropping on a shot, even when it's maybe not the best time, like a bounce shot or something that bounces high and a goalie just completely drops to the knees or something. And that's kind of something I guess I struggled a little bit, especially in high school. And that that Dylan definitely helped me kind of work on. But, you know, whenever he's playing in with the Mammoth or in the PLL, I'm definitely always rooting for him and cheering him on.
Yeah, Dylan's awesome. Awesome. So like I told you at the beginning, Ryan LaPlante was the very first podcast that I did. And then he introduced me to Dylan Ward. So like here I am interviewing, I don't know, best goalie in the world. With my third podcast of like, I was not ready for that, but he was great. He was great. Yeah. And I'm, you know, it's awesome to watch him play at the highest level. You know, that debate of do you drop to your knees on low shots or not is it's pretty big in the goalie world. I am, for the reasons you mentioned, I'm a fan of staying on your feet. Cause I kind of find that, you know, sometimes goalies, especially when they're not really seeing the ball that well, like they just have an instinct to drop to their knees on low shots. And I know a lot of goalies that have great success with that technique. And if that's you, great, keep doing it. But, I don't know, for me, staying on the feet's a better way to go about it.
Yeah. No, personally, I'm a little bit of both, I'd say. I mean, there's definitely times when I have, like, I think made a couple saves where I maybe didn't get my stick there, but got my body down low. But one thing I've been working on too is on those low shots, whenever I've been falling, kind of having that lean forward. Like I think some goalies tend to, when they drop, kind of just fall back on their heels and kind of just drop and sit down almost in a way. Mm-hmm. And it kind of like, I don't know, just, I found that when you do that, and it's something that Coach Eric Adamson and I have been talking about, especially over the last season, was that like times when I was doing that, like I wasn't really saving the ball versus times when I had like a little bit more of a lean forward and was getting my stick and body down right on the ball and tracking it, leaning a little bit more forward than on the heels. So I was making a lot more saves that way. But I mean, overall, I definitely do a little bit of both where sometimes I'll drop down and sometimes I'll stay up. So it's kind of just however I react at that time.
Yeah. Yeah. And then at the end of the day, it's about making the saves, and you're always going to have like situations in the game where you're just doing anything you can to make a save. More power to you. You got to do that. And so even you'll find that even goalies who preach stay on your feet for low saves end up on their butt sometimes because, you know, you fake high and the only thing you can do to get low is just throw that leg out there or throw that knee down there. So it's interesting. Well, cool. And then, so in high school, you know, did you start to see some success, or when did you start to realize like, hey, I'm pretty good at making saves?
I mean, I think definitely the Goalie Evolution Academy, with Ryan and Trevor was kind of, where I kind of just learned to like play the position, a certain technique and style. Mm-hmm. And I think after that, I was kind of having a lot more success overall. And then from then on, like just playing Denver Elite and playing some of the top, you know, club teams over the summer and fall was kind of where I started to be like, okay, you know, like I'm kind of getting the hang of this type thing. And yeah, then, sophomore year, I remember we had, meetings for Denver Elite that you talked to Coach T and some of the assistant coaches about, you know, where do you want to play in college? You know, how can we help you with that process and all that? And I remember I brought up that I was interested in DU. And then from that point, they were like, yeah, we're definitely intrigued and stuff like that. And then a couple months later, I got Coach D sat me down in the office, offered me, and I just couldn't be happier to be where I am right now.
That's awesome. Congratulations. Congratulations on that. And so was it pretty much DU or bust for you, or did you have some other schools that you were looking at?
It's funny. I actually, when I was first looking at schools, DU really wasn't on my radar, even though I live like 20 minutes away. I really thought that I wanted to go to like an Ivy League school, a really good academic school. And I, like, for the longest time, I was kind of set on that. And I was like, all right, like, that's what I'm going to do. That's what I want. And it kind of like didn't really dawn on me that, you know, DU would be such a great option. And like having those meetings, like they were like, what do you think of the school? Stuff like that. And I was like, I practice every day on Peter Barton Stadium with Denver Elite, but never really got a chance to take a look at the campus or didn't really know anything about the school. So, I mean, after learning about that and like kind of getting to know more about like the culture of DU and like just how legendary Coach T is and stuff like that, like it just seemed like a perfect fit for myself. And yeah, basically that's it.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Nice. Yeah. 20 minutes away can get a little bit too close sometimes for some.
My brother, he went to school all the way in the middle of nowhere in Vermont. So I was kind of the complete opposite, being 20 minutes down the street. So
yeah,
I love it. I do like being close to home.
Yeah. That's funny. I went to school about a 2-hour drive away from my home. So that was like just far enough to where my parents weren't going to like pop in. But I could go home for on the weekends and do laundry and get some food and that good stuff.
Yeah, that's always a nice benefit, definitely.
That's right. So for those that don't know Coach T, I mean, mm-hmm. I'm sure they know of him. He's a legendary coach, you know, not mm-hmm. just in the sport of lacrosse, but just in, you know, athletics in general. But how do you describe Coach T as a coach in your experience?
Man, you know, he's just a guy that will really just push you to be the best that you can be. And he's just one of those guys, you know, that has just a way to really just motivate you to not only just be a good lacrosse player, but to be a good person as well. And I think it's just also kind of the culture that he brings to teams, like especially at DU. I mean, he's created such a great culture that a lot of our upperclassmen and captains kind of carry on and have learned from him and stuff like that and carry on to all the younger guys. So I feel like it's just the way that he's able to create such a great culture at the schools that he's at that makes him such a great coach and person overall.
Yeah. How does he do that? Is that, you know, just the way he handles himself? Is that specific lessons that he's teaching you in the classroom? Is that lessons you're learning on the field? How does he go about achieving that in your opinion?
Yeah, I'd say definitely kind of the lessons he teaches you on and off the field. You know, he just has a great way of communicating kind of like the right messages to us and kind of teaching us the right way to do and handle different things in games and in life. So, I mean, I think it's just the way that he's able to kind of communicate that message that really just kind of hits home with all the guys on the team.
Yeah. Love it. I mean, I haven't had the opportunity to speak with him yet. I'm hoping to get him on this podcast actually, but that's one of the things just in talking with people who know him and have been close to him that I've picked up is, he knows the right message to say. Mm-hmm. I was interviewing Scott Bacigalupo, right? When Coach T was coaching at Princeton and Bacigalupo in the national championship, you know, does this Bill Buckner of lacrosse plays, just enormous error. And Coach T, you know, looks everyone in the eye in the huddle as they're going into sudden death overtime in a national championship and says, hey guys, like we would not be here if it wasn't for Batch. Let's move on. Right. So it's just that ability to deliver the right message is kind of one of the things I've picked up on. And it sounds like you're saying spot on.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Awesome. Any like particular stories come to mind for, you know, things that you've learned specifically?
I mean, I would say, yeah, I guess, in high school, my first 2 years I never started. We had a guy named Eric Peters who's played at Princeton. And then my junior year, I was pretty much the starter. And then my senior year, we had a guy named Isaac Abramovitz, who's a goalie at Air Force. And he's a great guy, great goalie. But you know, like, I feel like to all the goalies out there that are fighting for spots and stuff like that, like I kind of viewed it as like a great, like a really just good thing to have those guys there, because they push you to make you better. And, you know, there's so much you can learn from watching like other good goalies play. You know, I think watching like college lacrosse games and the PLL games and stuff like that, like just watching those goalies, you can learn a lot, definitely, I think, from watching, you know, what works for them, what doesn't. So, I mean, just in high school and stuff like that, like I always had guys I was, you know, competing against and fighting for that spot for. But at the end of the day, they were just making me a better player overall. So, Yeah, it's a great thing.
Yeah, love it. Love it. So then you get to Denver. I always am so curious, you know, like goalies definitely need to be leaders of the defense, if not the team. Like the best teams have goalies who are leaders. That's kind of another way to say it, you know. But you come in, you're a freshman, and it's hard to lead a group of men when you know, you haven't been through, you don't have that experience. So how did you go about, you know, becoming a leader of the team, if you consider yourself one?
Yeah, I mean, I think definitely one way to do that is just to, you know, be a good communicator when you're out in the field. And I think probably the first step to being a good communicator is know the guys on your team and know their names and stuff like that. Like the first you know, a couple fall ball practices my freshman year, you know, there's 50, 60 guys on our team. And, you know, I didn't know like half their names. So, I mean, it's definitely kind of hard to, you know, say, you know, yell certain things about certain guys and stuff like that, or say certain things to certain guys. So I think definitely just start by, you know, knowing the guys on your team, knowing their names, building a relationship with them, knowing them on like a personal level and stuff like that. I think definitely can help you just in how you communicate and stuff like that with them. And then I guess secondly is, you know, just, you know, earn the respect of your teammates, by, you know, being on time to practices, being on time to workouts and stuff like that, putting in extra work. I mean, the other guys on your team, you know, they'll look to you as being a role model and stuff like that when you do those little things, definitely.
Yeah. Yeah, I was going to say, so I played at Cal in the MCLA. I think we probably had like 25 guys. They're you know, if that on our team. So I was like, no, everyone's name. Yeah, but you got 60 guys on the team. It's a little bit different, a little bit of a tougher challenge. But yeah, no, it's a great point. It's a great point. Like, just get to know people, you know, on and off the field, and then, you know, handle yourself well, right? Showing up to practice on time, weight lifts on time, proper attitude. Those all go to like building up your credibility when it comes to leadership. Are you, would you call yourself a really vocal goalie? Like, is that, you know, are you loud in there?
I would say, I'd say I'm kind of in between. I mean, I think there's definitely guys out there that are kind of a bit louder and can bark orders a little bit better and stuff like that. But I definitely, you know, try to my best at least to, you know, communicate with the defense, talk to the guys after, you know, a goal gets scored and stuff like that. So I think it's definitely a really important part about just playing goalie is being able to be a good communicator.
Yeah, totally agree. The majority of, you know, college teams, the max number of goalies I've ever seen on one team is four. Denver had six goalies this year. I'm curious if you know how that came to be, why there were so many goalies.
I mean, so the coaches, I think, kind of recruited a goalie per class type thing. And then the year ahead of me, they recruited two goalies, Caleb and Cole, great guys. But we got a couple kind of transfer. We got one transfer from Rutgers, Zach Groff, who it's funny, I actually played on the same Denver League team as him. And he just happened to go to Rutgers and then eventually transferred here, back here. So it's kind of funny turn of events there. But yeah, no, just some transfers and just the fact that we recruited two guys per class. So I think actually last year we had seven, I think. Trying to think. Because we got two freshmen, yeah, two. Yeah, so we'll have six this upcoming year. We had actually seven seven that last season. But I mean, we were a really tight group of guys. You know, we all got along. We would hang out, we'd have goalie group hangouts on weekends. We'd play Dungeons and Dragons. TJ was our dungeon master, and it was all only goalies. And occasionally we'd let one or two different guys join in. But I mean, we were just such a tight group, even though there's so many of us. But it's just a ton of fun and a great group of guys.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah. And it's always great when you can have like a tight knit group of goalies, whether you have three, four, five, seven. I shorted you one goalie. That's awesome. And you just push each other, but like, you know, it's friendly, but it's competition, right? Like, I'm sure you guys are all fighting for those starting roles, but at the same time, like, respect the hell out of each other.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's part of it. Why I think our goalie group is so great together was like we all had that like competitive edge and stuff like that, but we also were really like just supportive of each other and just great friends off the field too. So
yeah, and then off the field you're rolling those 20 sided dies.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. I love it. Well, and how like logistics speaking, you know, when you're doing like a drill, like, is it a lot of real quick, you know, one, two, three reps for me, switch it out? I imagine, like, you know, with that many goalies, you kind of want to keep it fresh. Is that how you guys run practice or ran practice?
Definitely. Yeah. I mean, so a lot of times practice will kind of be split up into like, two groups doing offense and defense and stuff like that. So, I mean, you know, when we do that, it's like not such a big deal just having, you know, you and maybe three other guys or so. But whenever we did do like a whole team, you know, drill, and there's all seven of us, it definitely was, you know, you pop in there, you know, get three or four reps and then wait, you know, four or five minutes and then you're back in again. Definitely was a little bit challenging, I'd say, when we had big full team drills, but wasn't necessarily as big of a deal with the kind of smaller groups and stuff like that.
Yeah. Makes sense. Makes sense. Well, congratulations on a great year. Kind of going back to the beginning, like, how did Coach T first tell you, you know, you won the starting role?
Well, it was kind of like a battle definitely all fall between all of us. And like, I was just trying to control what I could control and stuff like that. And you know, when the season rolled around, like, just Coach T, before our first game, was like, all right, like, you're going to be the starting guy here for this game. I remember just, you know, being so pumped, you know, even my freshman year when during the COVID season, I remember, you know, first getting in a game. Cole was our go-to guy. And I remember we were kind of losing bad to Duke, and I went in at halftime, and, you know, I was just taking in the moment. I thought it was the coolest thing ever. So, I mean, it was definitely like from that game on, from that freshman year, like, I was like, all right, you know, like, this is my time to like prove myself here and stuff like that. So, you know, I was just trying, it's hard to be, you know, be a freshman, be a leader and have such a big impact, on the team. But, you know, that was my goal, you know, that freshman year. And then obviously that season, I got cut short, but I kind of took that summer, that fall, to really, you know, buckle down and say to myself that I really wanted to be, you know, the starting goalie at Denver. So I made it a commitment to just, it's kind of my drive, I feel like, for every practice and workout and stuff like that, to, you know, that's my goal, and I'm going to do whatever I can to achieve it.
Oh, I love that. I love that. That's so important. It's kind of a, hopefully, If you're listening to this and you've listened to more than one podcast, first of all, thank you. Second of all, you should know that that's a theme. I mean, I just talked to a college goalie and on the women's side, and it was like the same thing. It's like, you got to set these goals that drive you, you know, otherwise, like, you've got no why. You've got, like, there's no reason for you to go out and get hit in the thigh 10 times with a rubber bullet. Right. But now all of a sudden, when like you have this deep underlying reason of why you're doing it, like, you're just going to work way harder. So, mm-hmm. c- congrats on doing that. And then mission accomplished, right? Then you earn that, you achieve that goal that you were, that you set out for.
And I feel like once you achieve that goal or whatever, just keep pushing and create a new goal. So, I mean, my goal is obviously now is maybe going to be just try to be the best goalie in college across. But I mean, obviously a hard thing to achieve, but I'll just go out there and do what I can.
Yeah. I love it. That's a good goal. And team, you can do team goals too. I mean, I'm sure you guys got a team goal of a national championship.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. No, it's always a team goal every year.
Yeah. Awesome. When you think about like training, what does the Jack Thompson training regiment look like?
Right now we have just our 6:30 a.m. workouts 4 times a week. And that's pretty much the only team thing that we have going on right now for this summer.
Is it lifts or jump rope?
Yeah, kind of just lifts mostly. And then obviously you can do a lot of stuff on your own. I'm trying to start to run a little bit more just because we got our team run tests as soon as we get back. So the goalies are expected to make the time too. So, I mean, I gotta train and get ready for that too.
But what is the time? Can you share?
I believe it's, if I'm not mistaken, 9:15, mile and a half and 9:15.
Mile and a half and 9:15. All right.
Exactly. So I made it my freshman year, so just got to make it again. Then during the season, obviously, practice every day. Maybe once or twice a week, the goalies will go out with Coach Randy and go out with the tennis balls just to get a break of getting some bruises and stuff like that. And we'll just go out with the tennis balls, do some hand-eye coordination stuff, do some footwork drills and stuff like that. And then a lot of times at the end of those, we'll kind of do some more game-like scenarios, kind of some screenshots, some turns and stuff like that. And then on a personal level, I try to meditate and stuff like that. And a new habit I've gotten into is taking cold showers. And I take a cold shower, it kind of just wakes you up and stuff like that. And I try to get as cold as I can, just kind of create a little stress, environmental stress on the body. And then just kind of just do a breathing meditation technique just to like calm myself down. Which you could relate to playing goalie, you're in high pressure situations sometimes. And sometimes it's best to stay calm, cool, and collected rather than kind of being all jumpy and stuff like that. So it's just one thing that I do is try to take a cold shower and kind of just relax and breathe and stuff like that. So.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah. I've heard, I listen to a lot of podcasts and I've heard that quite a bit. I've recommended it to a few goalies, to give it a try. I've tried it. And it's tough. It's tough. I mean, you really gotta, it's uncomfortable. You really gotta focus on your breath. But it is like, it does teach you many lessons. I mean, one, like you said, being, calm in that state of uncomfortableness, very, very, translatable to the goalie position. Just working with that breath and then overcoming challenges, right? I mean, that's a huge part of the mental game is like not being comfortable, is pushing yourself beyond that comfort limit, because that's where we get the growth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
What do you do for meditation? Like if there's a young goalie out there, junior high goalie, and they hear like, oh, meditation, like why should I do that? How should I do that?
Sometimes you can look up on YouTube like meditation and stuff like that, and I'm sure thousands of videos will pop up for you. Sometimes I'll click on those. I know there's some apps on the App Store. I personally just kind of meditate in silence and just kind of work on your breath and staying calm and I just feel like that helps you in games just by, because a lot of times, like, you know, being the goalie, you have such a big role and such a big impact in the game. And sometimes, you know, that will, you know, drive up the nerves, drive up the adrenaline and stuff like that. And if you can go back to that, you know, kind of deep breath and that little calm place that you have in your brain, you know, that will just like allow you to stay calm and collected and will just help you to have a better chance at saving the ball when that shot comes.
Yeah. I love that. Yeah. I meditate quite a bit in the mornings and, you know, I find that like the best thing that you can do when we talk about the mental game, right? The best thing that you can do is put yourself into this great mental state, this real positive state. And so, you know, it's not about what happens to you. It's about how you react to it, right? I mean, we've heard that quite a bit. Crap's going to happen to you. It's about how you react to it. And so if you're in this positive state, like that impacts how you're going to react to it. And so that's why I love about it so much. Yeah. It's like, I'm prepping myself for that day. I'm putting myself in a great mental state so that, you know, eventually when something bad happens, like, you know, I'm in a great mental state to be able to welcome that challenge and then, you know, overcome it, as opposed to like shutting down, which is what a lot of young athletes do.
Yeah. I think too, with that, I think a lot of times we don't think we have control or power over, you know, our mental game or how we think and stuff like that. We all think it's kind of reactionary, you know, like, oh, you know, I got scored on 4 times in a row and haven't got a save yet in the game. Like, everything's just going terribly, all that stuff. And like, oh, it just maybe can cause you to think negatively. But I mean, just, I think recognizing that you have control, you know, over your mental, that mental game, that mental side that you have is really vital to just being, you know, mentally tough, mentally strong, and which will, you know, pay dividends and saves in the game and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You always have control, right? Because I mean, maybe like they can score six goals on you and that's out of your control, but you control how you react. Right. Mm-hmm. I mean, are you that goalie that's going to go like palms up and like, you know, slap the pipe and throw a little body language tantrum and kind of then your whole team kind of gets down? Are you that goalie that's like, score 0-0, I'm going to get the next one?
Exactly. Yeah. No, that's so important.
Yeah. That's a huge lesson in the mental game right there. Any like unconventional things that you do that you think contributed to your, did that contribute to your lacrosse goalie game?
I can't really think of anything necessarily super unique. I think that, I mean, just the style that I play and that Ryan and Trevor teach is a little bit unconventional. I feel like the conventional way is kind of just that 45-degree step. Mm-hmm. And I feel like just the style that I play has just given me a little bit more of an edge. But I mean, I'd say there's nothing necessarily super unique about, you know, anything that I necessarily do out of the box.
Got it. I have some tape from an earlier game of yours last year. Could we watch some of that and then we talk through some of the plays?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. All right. So it's from the Georgetown game. I don't know if you've seen it. I like to do these save edits. One, because I love watching lacrosse. and then two, I think that they're good learning tools for the kids out there. So,
watch these videos whenever you post them. I always like,
good. You're a fan.
Yes. Yeah.
All right. Hang on. Let me make our heads a little bit bigger here. How do I do this? Yeah, there we go. Okay. 41 seconds. So this is if you're just listening to the audio on the podcast, it's Denver Georgetown earlier game, in the 2021 season. There we go. Let's watch this play.
Here's Bundy. The Hoyas start to attack the short sticks. Nice look.
Inside a shot turned away. Thompson gets.
Nice save. Are you guys playing man here?
Yes. Yes, I believe we are. Yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of weird. Cause it's, I don't know, maybe like a defensive breakdown, because this guy slides kind of adjacent. Is that part of, is that part of the package?
No, I think that was a mistake. I think that's definitely something that we went over post game that kind of got a little yelled at and stuff like that, and something we needed to adjust for the future games.
Got it. Yeah, because he ends up, you know, feeding, ends up a guy being wide open in the middle of the crease. He's like, when he shoots it, he's probably at like 6-7 yards.
Yeah.
What's going through your mind at this point?
I mean, definitely was just kind of like it's like an enclosed shot there. I mean, I think in this shot, he kind of just brought his hands a little down, lowered his shoulders there. And I think I kind of just read that and just brought my stick down. And I think in this, I actually kind of dropped down to my knees a little bit here. Got to try to get a nice push off my back leg there. And then, try to just get my stick there and my body behind it too.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, we talk about, you know, the Goliesmith guys like got the read 'em and beat 'em technique on the inside shot. And it really, like at this point, I mean, that's kind of what you have to do, because you're right. He drops his shoulders, he drops his hands. And if he's going to sting a corner low to high right there, like tip of the hat to you, hat, like we'll give that one up, but we have to anticipate low. And he does end up shooting it low. And I wish I had like high def video, the video quality I have. I think I might have stole this from YouTube. Don't tell anybody, but just real nice athletic, you know, you can see that drive off. So that's a real nice save there. And this is a save as a goalie, like, hey, I stole one, right?
Yeah, no, definitely. Yeah, definitely got to look at it that way. And can definitely, you know, when you make those saves like that, it can definitely be something that gives you a little bit more confidence, I think, going into the rest of the game there. So definitely.
Yeah, love it. All right. 116. Let's check out this play.
Carraway trying to get inside position. He blows a tire, still on his feet. Up front to Haley. His shot knocked away by Thompson.
One of the things people ask me, like, well, when I watch tape, like, what exactly am I looking for? And I mean, there's a lot of things you can look for, or you can just watch it to have fun. But one of the things that I like, I mean, I'm always watching the goalie, right? And so one of the things you do really well is just moving on the arc, right? Mm-hmm. Right here, you're on the pipe to defend, you know, this guy that's at GLE. And then he swings it all the way to like your top right 45, and just watch that, you know, drop step and then kind of a hop, and you land in a nice athletic stance, like ready to make a save, because the shot's coming in, right? And that's, I think, something you specifically work on.
Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, being able to move around in your arc, and especially to do it in a quick way is really important, especially, I think the further you get on in your career of lacrosse, like, the teams that you play and the guys that you play, they'll be able to just move the ball so much quicker, and being able to move in your arc quicker will just allow you to be able to be a little bit more set and ready for a shot, which will just be make it a little bit easier to make that save.
Yeah. This is a good shot of your stance right here in that sort of wide base. Did you always play at that wide base, or is that something that like Tierney and LaPlante taught you?
Is something I think that came, I think when I was younger, was a little bit tighter, a little bit closer. And what Ryan and Trevor have just taught me is just, you know, a little bit beyond shoulder width apart. And I mean, every goalie is a little bit different. They'll might be a little bit closer together, would have maybe a little bit further apart. But that's just kind of what felt natural to me, So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you hear shoulder width, and I think shoulder width is too close. I think, you know, I think that you look at any like shortstop, any NFL linebacker, any of those positions where they get in that ready stance, and it's always a little bit wider than shoulder width, because I think you get more explosion that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you remember this save?
I do. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I mean, I think, tried there. I could have brought my hands out a little bit more, maybe just could have helped me, control that rebound a little bit, but I do remember, yeah, just trying to get that stick down, trying to get that body behind it too. And then once that rebound comes, you know, getting right up again and being ready for possibly another shot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Those bounce shots are tough. I mean, for many goalies, the hardest shot for them to save. And this guy does, like, this is like probably, he's at the 11 yard, probably about 11 yard shot, and he bounces it like right before the crease. So right outside the crease. So that's, you know, that's tough because on grass they can kick up. Like, it's not like you can come out and attack it at that point, right? Like,
yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's one thing if it's a little bit closer to feet, but when it's a little bit further out, a little bit harder to read it and determine how to play it.
Yep. Anyway, great save there. 204.
Stick protection. Always keep the head follows the head of your stick.
Caraway with a rifle turned away by.
Nice shot. Nice save. So this is sort of a replay of that previous save in the setup where like the guy's driving at GLE, right? Mm-hmm. And then passes it to the top left, to top right. You're 45. Boom. Get into a nice balanced position. Mm-hmm. See the ball. Bam. Explode those hands over.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else you'd add on that save?
Yeah, no, I'd just say, like, I think especially when you're moving and you're along your arc and stuff like that, it's important just to, you know, try to keep your hands up, you know, not bring them down, back up, try to just like just stay in that that athletic stance and positioning when that ball is moving across. I think just being in good position will just, you know, making a save a lot easier.
Mm-hmm. And this save right here, like, is it purely read and react, or are you sort of reading the situation in that, like, he's shooting, I've got two guys sprinting at him, like, from that overhand shot, I guess he could still shoot low, but I don't know. What are you, is it a pure read and react?
Yeah, I would say, yeah. I mean, definitely when they're beyond 10, I'd say it's mostly just a react versus just trying to, you know, I personally think like when you try to, you know, think too much about where they might be placing it and stuff like that, you know, sometimes you're going to be right and get that save, but you know, other times you might be wrong. And those times that you're wrong, you could be just putting yourself at a disadvantage there. So I try to play, you know, most of those shots that are beyond 10, just straight up and just trying to get to those balls just with a reaction.
Awesome. Awesome. The other thing you kind of do right here, and I've seen a lot of goalies do this, and John Galloway calls it the hop. Mm-hmm. And it's like when you're getting in your stance, it's like a little hop that kind of like resets your weight. Is that something you're doing? I mean, do you know that you're doing that? Is that something you do, you do specifically?
No, I'd say that's definitely just a habit, I'd say. But I can definitely see, yeah, how that can be a factor, especially. I just think that could also just be something that kind of just sets you and preps your body and mind just to be ready for that shot.
Yeah. Well, you called it a habit. I mean, it's a good habit. Like, you know, I think when we talk about habits, most of the time it has a negative connotation, but yeah, I think it's just something that, like you said, like, you know, you're, especially when you're moving on the arc or like when the guy's driving down the wing or like driving from where he's at right now, top right to, you know, to the center where you have to like move on the arc, but then here comes the shot and I can just do it's not a big one, right? We're not like jumping up and down, but it's just a little reset of the weight.
Yeah, no, I definitely think that could definitely be useful. You know, as long as you're just doing it before that shot comes, you know, it'd be the best thing if you're doing that right as the shot's coming, but could definitely, yeah, I could see it being that.
No. This is definitely before the ball leaves the stick. That's for sure. Bam. All right. Oh, the other thing I was going to mention here, this is kind of a cool learning point, is like whenever you're outletting the pass, you always want to miss long, right? Mm-hmm. Like you miss long right here, and guess what? Like he can just run right under it. Whereas if you would have shorted him, then like that ruins the whole fast break.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that's something I've been talking to the coaches with about a whole lot this past season. To just even we were talking to D guys, and they almost thought it was easier to get the ball off that one hop, that bounce in front of them, than for them kind of just to turn like that and catch it over the shoulder. So, yeah, that was something we were working on a lot, especially later in the season.
Awesome. Let's watch this play. It's amazing.
Thompson, Doink. Malik Sparrow, big time ground ball.
Here's Sparrow. Excuse me.
Getting inside. Sparrow. Boom.
I love that play. That was awesome.
Yeah. Malik's great guy.
Great display of athleticism.
Yeah.
Is that guy coming back or did he graduate?
Yeah, no, he's, I'm living with him at DU, and yeah, he'll be back. He's probably the best athlete we got.
Awesome. 404 is the next one.
Still 18 on the shot clock. Here's Haley. Very patient by the Hoyas.
Thompson is focused in.
Here's a shot up top by McDermott.
Couple questions. Who is yelling there?
I think that's Coach Gallant. Coach Gallant there. He's definitely loud. But yeah, no, I've been with him in high school. He was my head coach actually. So he was my head coach, sophomore, junior, senior year. And then the year I was going in to be a freshman at DU is the same year that he took over as the defensive coordinator. But yeah, he's awesome. Loud in our games, and it helps us out a lot.
Yeah, well, one of the things I love about not having fans there, and this is a April game, so there's no fans, is there's no noise. Like, you can hear all of the communication on the players, and that's just awesome. I mean, he's just at the top of his lungs yelling lefty, lefty, and kind of communicating that way. And then this save ends up being a pretty nice one. I mean, these, you know, if we're being honest, like, these are the saves we want to make.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think what was good about this actually is I think Malik was like about to like be a screen guy, but right as this guy's about to release it, Malik kind of just turned away, and it just kind of, you know, as a goalie, being able to see that ball from the shooter all the way to your stick, it makes saves a lot easier versus when you got a D guy or an attack guy running through meanwhile or kind of getting in the way of your view. So I think this shot, I recall just having just a good view of it and being able to just track it into my stick.
Yeah, that's interesting. So they're looking at this guy in the middle here. I always said, like, I don't want a defender to do like a real last minute, like drastic change of movement. Because like, if he's standing right here and sort of taking that shooting lane, like, I know if the guy's not going to shoot there. Whereas then if he jumps out of the way, like or let me put it this way. If the shot is in that shooting lane, he's going to absorb it. Right. And if he jumps out of the way, but you're saying, so you saw this one all the way.
Yeah. I think he was kind of about to be in like that shooting lane there. Mm-hmm. Like he wasn't quite there in that, but kind of just turned away, which kind of just allowed me to be able to see that ball a little bit better.
Yeah. I can't tell from the video. The video is pretty poor quality. Did this bounce?
No, I think that was just a stick side. And
stick side high. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, like I said, if we're being honest, 14, maybe 15 yarder with, someone right there. I mean, they might even have made contact with the shooter when he gets shot, stick side high, like, cool. We'll make those saves.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. All right. 447.
Last one on the man up right before the break. Here's Haley. Haley gets in front. Stick save by Thompson.
So on this play, Georgetown guy is driving down the wing. And these ones are always like, they're interesting because on one hand, like, he has very little angle, right? Like it's a tough shot. But on the other hand, I mean, he releases this 4 yards away on the run. So like, you don't have much time to react like we do to an outside shot. What is your, you know, when you face these alley dodges, low angle shots, what's your thoughts? What's going on in your head?
I mean, so yeah, one thing me and Coach Randy have talked about has just been like how to play these low angles. And sometimes how I'll play them is I'll really kind of get against the pipe. It definitely is great when the shooter has, you know, like barely an angle and stuff like that. But I mean, one thing we found was just like when I do that and the guy has, you know, a little bit more of an angle, like in this scenario, you know, that it, when you get your, you know, your feet together and stuff like that, right along the pipe, that it doesn't necessarily help you, you know, mobility wise or any way in moving your stick to the ball. So, yeah, whenever they have a little bit more of an angle, I try to say, you know, I try to tighten up my stance just a little bit, but try to, you know, still be able to move definitely. The shot comes off stick side and I was just able to get that push off that leg and get my body behind it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, that's sort of exactly what happens here. He shoots it. And at that point, like, are you reading the body language or did you see the shot and then kind of explode to that?
Definitely in close, you know, I read, you know, their body language a bit more. I'd say it's a little bit of a combination there, you know, reading the fact that, you know, he's not going to pull that one low. And then at the same time, you know, just trying to find that ball out of the air. And if you can't get there with your stick, you know, just try to get your body behind that any way you can.
Yeah. I think the announcer said you made it with your stick. It does kind of look like it hits your body, huh?
Yeah, no, I think that was just off the chest there.
Off the chest. All right. Do you have a least favorite spot to get hit?
Least favorite spot. I would say, yeah, no, I think, I used to thought it was thigh, but I think if you get a really solid calf shot, I mean, your calf will really tighten up and sometimes can't even walk. So I think, I'd say the calf is my least favorite.
Calves are brutal. Yeah. Calves are brutal. That was 4:47. So let's go 6 minutes.
Watson trying to get inside, gets doubled, still has it, shoots, stopped by Thompson.
Awesome. So this is another one of those examples of just kind of reading the situation. So the guy, the Hoyas guy, I mean, he's essentially falling down at GLE, so very low angle, getting doubled, right? Mm-hmm. And as a goalie, like that's what you're seeing. And you're, I mean, you can look at you in goal, like you're already down there ready for a low shot, right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, if a guy is able to, you know, fall down like that and sting it high, then, you know, props to him. But I think, yeah, no, just I was reading the situation. I was like, there's no way he can pull that one high. So I just tried to stay low and was able to get to it.
Yep. Yep. Love that save. All right. 7:29.
7 advantage. Dumps it off behind to Watson. Watson up top to Caraway. Thompson makes the save.
Yeah, I mean, this is another example of those saves that, like, hey, this is one we want to have. You know, it's. I mean, this is way out there, 16 yards. Mm-hmm. I think you're telling your D guys, I will take that shot every single time, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, definitely. I think Caraway did a good job though here, shooting around the guy, around Squires there, which definitely, you know, when shooters are able to do that, definitely makes it a little bit harder for us goalies to be able to see that ball and save it. But I think just the fact that, you know, it's 16 yards out, I had, you know, enough time still to be able to track it there.
Yeah, that's a good point. Those are tough shots. Like when an attackman shoots like right off the hip of or like right off the calf, right off the leg of your defender, because you don't pick up that release point necessarily right away. So yeah, actually that is a good point. So maybe it's a little more difficult, but like you said, it's, you know, 16 yards. I'll make that save, and then here's kind of a cool learning point for defenders, because sometimes, you know, defenders will get so excited and they'll actually throw the ball back to the goalie, essentially shooting on the goalie. And I've seen a lot of own goals that way. So yeah, he just dumps it, you know, places it into the crease, allow you to scoop it up. And I guess that's something you guys have done and practiced and trained.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah. Awesome. Last one is at.
Good stop by Denver.
Hang on, we went past it.
Up the interior defense. Bundy gets an opening, takes a bouncer, and Thompson's there.
Nice save. Yeah. So I don't know if you have much to add on this one, but you know, this is one of those ones where he's driving, hands free, leaning into the shot. We're at about 14 yards, so a little bit of a ways away. What are you seeing on this play?
Yeah, I mean, like, this is one of those times that I feel like, when I was younger, I may have just completely dropped on. But I think that in this scenario that, you know, staying high and not going, you know, dropping that low, you know, was beneficial. And, you know, like, just being able to get your body behind that ball, even though, you know, you may give up a rebound, you know, it's better, you know, to make that save and have that rebound than for it to go in the back net. So, I mean, just being able to get your body behind that ball, I think was, you know, sometimes bouncers, you know, are tough to read and stuff like that. But, you know, in this, I think I was just trying to get my body and chest behind it.
Yeah. Well, this is a great example of why staying on your feet is a better technique. Cause you know, if you see this ball coming in as a bouncer, you know, you see it coming in low and you drop to your knees right there. Guess what? That's a goal. Cause that's bouncing up into the top corner. But you do not, I mean, you stay on your feet and then you can explode up almost as if it's an off stick high shot. I mean, you're really exploding up with your body in that way, which is a great save.
Yeah. And I mean, dropping down on a lot of just low bouncers was just a habit that I had, when I was younger. So it's just something I was trying to get rid of.
Awesome. There is one last save I want to take a look at.
Caraway comes out, wraps around, knocked away by Thompson, and the ball goes flying up. And the
what a save considering the situation. So it's 10-10. There's, you know, 10 seconds left in the game, and they're going for the game winner right here. He drives from X, and then he gets a step on him and kind of dives, and bam, nice save. What's going through your head when, you know, you see him kind of coming around GLE?
Yeah, I mean, one thing we were trying to emphasize a lot, and Coach T was getting on all of us goalies throughout the year, was just kind of holding that pipe. But especially once a guy in attack and kind of gets around, gets a little bit more angle, and especially in this scenario here, like kind of getting that dive there kind of just creates, and getting his stick in front of him just creates a little bit more of an angle. So I think that's kind of why I threw my stick out for that off stick side high. And I think this one actually just got me in the foot here. So, you know, sometimes, you know, the ball goes your way and you get a little lucky save there.
Love it. Awesome. Well, that was fun. Thank you for taking us through some of those plays and showing us behind the scenes. It makes me, you know, when you said Coach T was getting on us goalies, I made a comment to somebody, I think it was Bachigalupo, saying that I'd love to have Coach T on, like, you know, maybe he doesn't, you know, maybe we won't talk as much about like specific goalie techniques. And he's like, oh no, you'd be surprised. Like, he knows quite a bit about the goaltending position. Is that true?
Yeah, no, I think definitely. I mean, you know, with Trevor and stuff like that, I'm sure Trevor and him have talked about it and stuff like that. So yeah. And I think, Coach T, you know, really emphasizing, you know, just make the saves that you're supposed to make. And if you make it one or two extra, then, you know, that's awesome. Throughout the year, those inside pipe shots were something that he wanted us all of us goalies at DU just to work on it and just make sure that when our D guys, you know, are driving a guy down the alley or turning a guy who's dodging from X, that, you know, we hold that pipe and don't let anything, you know, kind of just trickle or sneak by there.
Love it. Love it. Jack, thank you so much for coming on. This is tons of fun chatting lacrosse goal with you. Good luck in the upcoming year. We'll be watching. If people want to get a hold of you, do you do the social medias, or is there a way?
I've not been too active on social media, but if you want to give, I do have an Instagram at JackieMan1, JCKIE Man1. So yeah, no, give me a follow.
Cool. I'll link up to that when this comes out. And Jack, if you had to leave the goalies out there with one last piece of advice, what would that be?
I would just say, you know, stay dedicated to getting better. You know, work hard in everything that you do, whether that's lacrosse or in just all aspects of your life. And, you know, most importantly, you know, playing lacrosse, you know, being a goalie, it's all just fun. So, you know, just enjoy it.
Love it. Jack, thank you so much.
Sweet. Yeah. Thank you so much.
So there you have it. Hope you enjoyed that episode with DU goalie. He's just a junior. It's Jack Thompson. Awesome to hear his experience in lacrosse with Ryan LaPlante, Trevor Tierney, and the great Coach T from Denver, University of Denver. That'll do it this week. College goalie podcasts continue. We'll be back next week with another college goalie. Hope you guys learned something from that episode. Hope you took away at least one or two tips that you can incorporate into your own game to make you a better lacrosse goalie. Fall ball is here. Hope you're out there getting some work in, doing well, and being well. I'm Coach Damon. Take care.
You've been listening to the Lax Goalie Rat Podcast with your host, Coach Damon Wilson.